भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 12. Tasmadaham vigita viklava isvarasya. Sarvatmana mahi granami yatha manisam. Nicho jaya guna visargam anupravista. Puyeta yena hi puman anuvarnitena. Tasmadaham vigata viklava isvarasya. Sarvatmana mahi granami yatha manisam. Nicho jaya guna visargam anupravista. Puyeta yena hi puman anuvarnitena. Mataji's, please. Tasmat, therefore, aham, I, vigata viklava, having given up contemplation of being unfit, Isvarasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarvatmana, in full surrender, Mahi, glory, Grinami, I shall chant or describe, Yata Manisam, according to my intelligence, Nicha, although low-born, my father being a great demon, devoid of all good qualities, Ajaya, because of ignorance, Gunavisargam, the material world, wherein the living entity takes birth according to contamination of the modes of nature, Anupravista, entered into, Puyeta, may be purified, Jena, by which the glory of the Lord, he indeed, Puman, a person, Anuvarnitena, being chanted or recited. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of the material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. Purport. It is clearly understood that the devotee does not need to be born in a very high family, to be rich, to be aristocratic, or to be very beautiful. None of these qualifications will engage one in devotional service. With devotion, one should feel, God is great and I am very small. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. Only on this basis can one understand and render service to the Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvata. Tato mam tatvato gyatva visite tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus Prahlad Maharaj decided to offer his best prayers to the Lord without consideration of his material position. Om Agyanatim Randasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilita Menatas Mai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Srimate Deva Amrita Swaminita Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminita Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pachyatya Destarane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So both, in this verse, both the problem that we are in and the solution to get out, both are given by Prahlad Maharaj in this verse. What's the problem? The problem is that we are in this material world. Krishna explains in the Gita, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are originally Krishna's part and parcels, we are free, eternal, spiritual beings. But at the moment, we have become bound up. We have become Jiva Bhuta. The Brahma Bhuta has become the Jiva Bhuta. And we are going through repeated birth and death among the 8,400,000 species of life in the bodily concept. We all know what the bodily concept means. We live in Hollywood. There was this elevator, there was this apartment building, and there was this elevator. And according to the speed of the elevator, so much electricity is being used up. So the landlord actually turned it way down, like made it really slow, you know. So everybody was complaining. Everybody was complaining that this is too slow, this is too slow. But the landlord, being intelligent, he didn't speed it up and waste money on the electricity. Rather, he just put mirrors all over the place inside the elevator. And thereafter, nobody complained. Everybody was just satisfied, just looking at themselves, and doesn't matter how long it took to go up and down. So this is the bodily concept of life, and Prahlad Maharaj is talking about this. The problem is the bodily concept, and the solution is to offer prayers to the Lord in the right mood. Sometimes when we are new devotees, we think just by chanting and dancing we'll go back to Godhead. But soon we realize there are so many tests and so many obstacles on the path. And if we can tolerate all that and chant and dance, then we will surely go back to Godhead, not just so easy. So Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us by his example how to be humble and offer prayers, not just offer prayers. Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us by his example, no matter how long we've been around or how advanced we become in bhakti, we should always be conscious of our position, our fallen position, and we should be grateful to all the devotees that helped us to come to this point of devotional service. It's like as I was preparing for the class, I remembered how when I was coming along, I went to this loft, this preaching center, this outreach center, and I was taking prasad with one Mataji there. You know, I was a new devotee and she was preaching to me. And just like when Indian people come, you know, they think ISKCON devotees don't know much and they know better, like that. So I told her, you know, actually I'm a Brahmin, like that. She said, no, you're not. I was like surprised. She said, what do you do for work? I said, oh, I'm a student, but I work in a fast food part-time. She said, like, there you go, you know, you're not a Brahmin. Brahmin means qualifications, not just by birth. And she gave this example how just because your father is a lawyer, that does not make you automatically a lawyer. You have to go to law school and get prepared. Funny enough, my father was a lawyer. So it was like, she was like talking to me, you know. So I understood the point for the first time coming in contact with Prabhupada devotees, how devotional service or Brahminical, you know, position is not by birth. It's actually a qualification, like we see in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada is saying. It's clearly understood that a devotee does not need to be born in a very high family. That does not make one automatically perform devotional service. So, the important point is to engage in devotional service, regardless of our background, with the right attitude. Like Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Instruction preface, that the spiritual advancement is completely dependent on the attitude of the follower. However, our attitude is, that's how much progress we'll make in spiritual life. If we have a bad attitude, we won't make any progress. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Trinada pisuni chena tarora pisa hisnuna. Amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. Without expecting any respect, offering all respects to others, in this state of mind, one should chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And this is one of the jewel-like quality that decorates the devotees in the eyes of Krishna. There's so many examples that we can think of. Great devotees doing so much service, but they also felt very fallen. And again, the acharyas explain how we shouldn't be fallen, but we should feel fallen. We shouldn't actually be fallen. Many times we hear, you know, devotees say, oh, I'm fallen, you know, what can I do? I can't do it. But we shouldn't be actually fallen, but we should actually just feel fallen. Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains his position being a worm, lower than worm in a stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madai. He was such an exalted personality, but he was actually feeling like that. Nityananda Prabhu actually appeared to him in a dream and guided him to go to Vrindavan and write Chaitanya Charitamrita. But still, even though he was so exalted, he was feeling so lowly. And the example of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was such an amazing devotee that Krishna actually personally stole the sweet rice. And Krishna hid it for Madhavendra Puri. And later on, Kirchor Gopinath, he called the pujari and said, you know what? My devotee Madhavendra Puri, he came by and he desired to taste this sweet rice to offer it to his deity. But he didn't get to taste it, so I've hid one pot of sweet rice. So please go find him and give him this sweet rice. And the pujari went everywhere calling out, Madhavendra Puri, you're the most fortunate. Who are you? Where are you? I have something prasad for you. And as soon as Madhavendra Puri had the sweet rice, immediately he thought, now the news will spread that I'm the person that Krishna personally stole the sweet rice for. So I'm going to become famous, so let me get out of here. So Madhavendra Puri left that place immediately, overnight. Generally our tendency is we want credit for something, you know, we didn't even do. Somebody else did it, but we're always looking some little credit. But great devotees of the Lord, they don't want it. Like Pratishta, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, considered to be like the stool of the hog. So very abominable. There is this example of this leper, Vasudev, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had such advanced stages of leprosy that they were actually living worms in his body. And he was in such painful condition and he was ostracized and like this. But because he was such a great devotee and because he was so non-envious and without any false ego, suffering actually makes us very humble, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting the house of the Kurma Brahman and this Vasudev leper, as soon as he heard Mahaprabhu is in town, immediately this Vasudev had a revelation, had a realization that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was dragging himself to go see Mahaprabhu, but Mahaprabhu had already left. So being so unfortunate not be able to see Mahaprabhu, he actually fainted in separation. And Mahaprabhu, you know, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can see this. So he came back. Mahaprabhu came back, picked up Vasudev and embraced him. and cured him of all his diseases. This leprosy went away. His features became so beautiful and he started offering prayers. And it's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat how this Vasudev, even though he was personally with the Lord and he had the mercy of the Lord, he started thinking, now people are going to glorify me and people are going to, you know that I was personally cured by the Lord. So I may get proud. I may become proud. So this Vasudev was fearful like this. He was very fearful. He was feeling he would rather have the pain and the leprosy and being ostracized and still chant Hare Krishna than to be proud and fall down. This Prabhupada also explained this, how Prabhupada said his concern was that his disciples, of course his grand disciples also, are not afraid of Maya enough. And one of the biggest traps of Maya is actually this false pride. So if we look at one common quality among all the devotees is this humility. I was watching this video. Devotees are trying to record Prabhupada doing kirtan. And the one devotee is saying to Prabhupada, you please start and we will record and, you know, like this. And Prabhupada immediately says, oh, you want to record? I'm not so expert. And the devotee like kind of begs him and convinces Prabhupada. Says, no, Prabhupada, we actually want to do this, please. Like, and Prabhupada says, okay. So Prabhupada starts singing after, you know, the devotees insisted. So Prabhupada is so humble. We can read from this poem Prabhupada wrote in the Jaladuta. The verses that Prabhupada wrote before he came to the US. It's not actually something that Prabhupada wrote to be published and everybody to be seen. It was his personal diary. But Prabhupada is speaking, you know, how I'm so insignificant, I'm so fallen, I have no qualification, make my words suitable for these people to understand. Prabhupada was just in this Boston harbor and he can see the cafes and people hanging out. And immediately Prabhupada can tell what kind of audience he's going to deal with. So Prabhupada is praying, make my words suitable so these people will actually understand what I'm about to say. Of course, later these poems got published and Prabhupada actually wanted us to sing these prayers in this temple, just like we sing the prayers of the other acharyas, predecessor acharyas. So this is the mood of the Vaishnavas, always humble. Like for example, Ramanujacharya, he made it a regulative principle among his disciples to criticize themselves and glorify the devotees every single day. He made it like just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, because I'm honeycombed with all kinds of faults, as soon as I look at somebody, immediately I can find it in others. It's not hard work. Ramanujacharya was so humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took two principles from the Sri Sampradaya, namely deity worship and being the servant of the Vaishnavas. Ramanujacharya had this very, very special disciple called Koresh. And it's explained wherever the guru-disciple discussion is there, the Koresh name should be mentioned. And Koresh was such an amazing disciple. When he found out that his Guru Maharaj is going to finish the earthly pastimes and go back to Vaikuntha, Koresh actually was thinking, you know, if I die, if I leave this world after my Guru, when I go back to the spiritual world, my Guru will actually come to receive me in the gates of Vaikuntha. I don't want that. I want to go before him and make all preparations, and I want to go and receive him. So he had such intimate relationship with the deity, of this temple, Srirangam temple, Ranganath. And Koresh, actually, the deity actually was so pleased with Koresh, and the deity asked him what he can do for him. And Koresh said, "Do you think there's any chance I can go back to the spiritual world?" And the deity was so moved with his humility and said, "Koresh, what to speak of who you, whoever you point finger at, they will all go back to Godhead. Whoever is connected to you, whoever you remember." You know, among devotees, we jokingly say, "Oh, Prabhu, when you go to the spiritual world, please leave a little door open for me. You know, remember me like that." It's true, because the soul goes back to Godhead, still remembers everything from this world, but it's very insignificant. So that's why if the soul in the spiritual world, the spiritual master Vaishnavas, they remember us and they recommend us for Krishna, sure Krishna will take it seriously. So Koresh was given this blessing that yes, you can go to Vaikuntha and whoever is connected to you will go back to Godhead. And this news was actually brought to Ramanujacharya, that Koresh is actually leaving the world. And Ramanujacharya started waving his chadar and dancing in ecstasy. And all the devotees were wondering, "He's going to die, why are you dancing?" And Ramanujacharya explained, "I'm dancing not because Koresh is dying, but Vishnu told him, whoever is connected to him will go back to Godhead. And I'm also connected to him, so I have some hope." So even though he was the spiritual master, he had such a mood of humility. So without this proper attitude and humility, even if we are performing devotional service, Krishna is not so pleased. Without pleasing Krishna, it's srama evahi kevalam, it's simply waste of time. Who is this, Architabha, who is this person that was reciting Bhagavatam that threw Srivas Thakur out of the assembly hall? Huh? Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit, this great scholar of this Bhagavatam. And he knew Bhagavatam in and out. He knew every sloka of the Bhagavatam, and like this he knew Sanskrit, and he was a very charismatic speaker. And Srivas Thakur, being a great devotee of Bhagavatam, actually attended one of his Bhagavatam classes by Devananda Pandit. And as soon as Devananda Pandit started speaking from the Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur actually fainted in ecstasy. But the disciples of Devananda Pandit didn't recognize his ecstasy. They thought this person is being a disturbance, so they dragged him and threw him out. And Mahaprabhu found out about this, Mahaprabhu was actually furious. Like few devotees were holding him back. He said, "Devananda Pandit, I will shred your Bhagavatam to pieces. Hell with your Bhagavatam. What's the use of your Bhagavatam?" Like this, Mahaprabhu was so upset. Even though he's studying the Bhagavatam, he didn't have the right attitude. And later on it's explained that Devananda Pandit served Vakreshwara Pandit, because Vakreshwara Pandit used to dance for like, you know, 3, 4, 5 days without stopping in Kirtan. So when Vakreshwara Pandit was dancing like that, Devananda Pandit served him, and this way Mahaprabhu forgave him and gave him mercy. So in this translation, Prahlad Maharaj is also explaining how I'm offering, how Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers as far as his intelligence allows. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that. But considering the people of this age of Kali, not so intelligent, Manda Sumanda Mataya, we are given this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We just have to chant it, because we are not so expert to compose prayers and all this in this age of Kali. We are given this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we just have to chant it. There is this beautiful verse that explains Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnu, Tretayam Yajato Makai. Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnu. Devotees in Satya Yuga, they would go to the forest and meditate no problem for 60,000 years. They lived 100,000 years. Can you imagine? And Tretayam Ejito Makai, devotees were performing so many sacrifices. Like Prithu Maharaj, he performed 99 Aswamedha sacrifice, horse sacrifice. In this way they were pleasing the Lord. Dwapare Paricharyayam, they would build amazing temples and perform elaborate deity worships with jewels and, you know, nice bhoga offering and brahmanas chanting prayers. But kalau tad hari kirtanat, in this day and age, we have no power to meditate for, you know, so many years, and we don't have proper brahmanas to perform, you know, this Vedic sacrifices. We don't have money to do opulent worship. But kalau tad hari kirtanat, we can just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we get the same benefit as going to the forest, as worshipping the deities, worshipping, you know, chanting the mantras, sacrifices like this. In Kali Yuga, we just have to chant Hare Krishna. And we can't even do that properly. It's like this one hippie approached Prabhupada and said, oh, you know, you're just telling everybody about the Hare Krishna mantra, but I'm going to give real help to people, namely like give food and clothing and like this. And Prabhupada said, you know, you can't even bathe properly. You don't even know how to take a shower, you know, you're a hippie. How are you going to help somebody? Prabhupada like put him in his place. So, Nectar of Devotion explains, the best prayers we can offer to Krishna is the prayers that is being chanted by previous devotees. And there are so many prayers given to us in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, like that. But Mahaprabhu gave us this greatest prayer, Maha Mantra. And he also blessed it by saying, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. All glories to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. So just by chanting this Hare Krishna Mantra without offense, we can please the Lord. And we can purify our consciousness simultaneously. And if we do just this, Krishna will send us some nice devotees to take care of. It's like Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, should we take care of, should we preach to the weak devotees or should we preach to the strong ones that are coming along? Prabhupada said, you should preach to the strong ones because the weak ones will go away anyways. So give your energy to the ones that are serious. Of course, Prabhupada was compassionate to everybody, that's no question. But the point being is, if we chanted Hare Krishna without offense, Krishna will send us the right people to take care of. We don't need to go anywhere. Just wherever we are, we can influence. It's like the example of the guy, you know, before they were not able to build many stories, many, you know, high rises, because there was only so many steps you can build and so many up steps you can walk. There was this person who came up with this iron, like cable, you know, that made the revolution. Because the iron, before, the rope were not able to pull the elevator up and down. But the person who designed this iron cable was able to move the elevator all the way up and down. Is, in a sense, is the cause behind all these millions of high rises around the world. Similarly, something we may be doing in the background, something insignificant, can actually influence the world big time. Provided, you know, we take these teachings to the heart and practice it carefully, consciously. So, thank you. Any questions or comments? Bali and then Sachitono. Can you give the microphone? Yes. That's a very nice question. Bali is asking, what's the best way to develop humility? While we're doing devotional service, best way is to distribute books when you go out on the streets. And there are so many other, you know, all these processes like reading Prabhupada books, like we're discussing, you know, it's really helpful. Personally, like when I listen to like Radhanath Maharaj, he really smashes your false ego before you can go any further. It's very, very useful. I recommend highly to all the new devotees, especially to hear Radhanath Swami classes and to read Prabhupada books and understand, you know, where we're coming from. And without the devotees, we are nowhere, you know. So, like, again, this quote by Radhanath Maharaj says, when you see a devotee, you should deal with him as if your spiritual life is completely dependent on how you deal with this person. So, take guidance, ask questions from senior devotees, serve, and, you know, be open for suggestions and advice. Because nowadays, more and more we're seeing some new devotees are coming. You can't even say anything to them. They just fall apart. This is like men. You know, you just go and tell them something and then they're like, you know, so disturbed. They get so disturbed. But why, you know? This is like family. We should be able to help each other and take advice and guidance from each other. Otherwise, we won't make progress. Does that make sense, Bali? Sachitanoi, bro. Sure. Yeah, Ramanujacharya, Sachidanoi Prabhu is asking about this pastime of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya was actually traveling with like many, many of his devotees. He had like actually 800 sannyasi disciples. And they would go like a safari, wherever they went, it was like a safari, you know, so many hundreds of devotees. And Ramanujacharya would actually send his disciples in advance to go to certain disciples' houses and let them know in advance they're coming. So Ramanujacharya sent a couple of his disciples to the house of this really, really wealthy devotee, disciple, to let him know that he's coming. And as soon as they heard that the guru is coming, they were so enthusiastic to make all kinds of preparations, clean the house, maha clean up, prepare feast, and, you know, let the neighbors know and like this. They were so enthusiastic. And then these disciples went to another disciple of Ramanujacharya, and he was not so wealthy, he was just a simple householder. And as soon as the disciples of Ramanujacharya went to give the news, the God brothers actually invited the guests that came with the good news that the Guru is coming, and worshipped them and gave them nice prasadam and glorified them and made them comfortable, and then heard the news that the Guru is coming and then started making preparation. So the disciples went back to report Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya asked, so what happened? So we went and gave news. Both of them were ecstatic, and, you know, they're preparing. And how did they treat you? Ramanujacharya asked. He said, oh, both of them were nice, but one of them didn't take us seriously. They were just preparing for you, but the other ones were so taking care of us so nicely to the point we were so embarrassed. And still they're preparing for you to come. And Ramanujacharya said, you know, we won't go to the house of this rich devotee who didn't welcome you. You will just only go to the house of this simple householder who welcomed you nicely. Because without serving the servants, you cannot please the master. You cannot directly go to the guru. You have to serve the servant of the servant of the servant. Like many times, people say, oh, I only want Prabhupada. But without serving the servants of Prabhupada who helped him so much, we can't please Prabhupada. We have to go through the servants. That's how the spiritual system is, whether you like it or not. Sorry. Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.